Father, thank you for this wonderful food. We thank you for your blessing. We ask that you might help us to recognize that Thanksgiving is not just some ecstatic utterance of joy that we might feel once in a while. It's actually a Christian duty. We pray that you might help us to sense something of the burden and then the release of that burden by the doing of it. And we pray thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian duty of Thanksgiving. We know it's a duty because it's commanded. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we pair together verse 16 and 18. Verse 16 is very short. Rejoice evermore. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All of the people concerned about finding God's will, one of the things is, in everything give thanks. This is God's will. This is what you know. Nancy, you're being donated a spoon. That's right. What we find here are these are commands. You see, God commands the believer to rejoice. Now that is internally, to feel it inside, and give thanks. That's externally, in everything. It's our duty, no matter what our situation. You say, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter. That's your duty. Those of you who take, going to work seriously, you say, I'd rather stay in bed. It doesn't matter. You just go to work. You do what you're supposed to do. So how are we to have such strength to rejoice in everything? It's easy to rejoice about the pleasant things, right? But how do we have the strength to rejoice in the midst of trials and difficulties? Well, I'll give you two things. Meditate on the exhortations of Scripture and analyze the lessons from Scripture. So we'll look at those two things. First of all, the exhortations of Scripture. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Here's Christ's words. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Reviling is not pleasant. That's where they're saying wicked things about you. And persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. The Greek here, say against you lying for my sake. Rejoice. Here's your response. They're treating me badly. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See, you're not happy about what they're saying. You're not happy about what they're implying. You're happy that you're counted worthy to suffer for Jesus like the prophets before you were. Luke 6, 22, 23. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. I heard the story of a little boy walked up to an evangelist and he said, you should jump. He said, what? He said, you should jump. He says, why? He says, the Bible says leap for joy when they're talking bad about you. Boy, they're really going to it over there. James 1, 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. Knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect, her completed work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, the trials come at the hand of God because these are the steps that you have to take to build your strength. Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Again, you recognize that while I'm having some problems, I have some difficulties with some people, God is good. God has given me so much. And this should lead me to the attitude of repentance. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 that we read for our text, rejoice and give thanks. Now, this is a command, and we need to take that seriously. You say, well, that's just about being thankful. This is the will of God concerning you. So let us never take obedience to God's commands lightly. Take that seriously. I remember the story of some Christian soldiers in World War II that ran out of ammunition. It was just two or three of them left, and they started praying, but German soldiers came upon them and lined them up, marching them down the road. And the one kind of leaned to the other and said, you know, God said, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Yeah. We ought to acknowledge the Lord. How can we do that? Let's sing hymns. So while they're marching down the road, they began to sing hymns. All of a sudden, one of the German soldiers came running up. Are you Christians? Yes. So are we. We hate serving the Führer. Would you take us in? So they handed them the guns, and they turned around and marched the other way. Brought the German soldiers in and told the story. You don't know what obedience to God will bring forth. So when you don't feel like it, that's when you need to do it most. Now, let's look at the examples of Scripture. I'm not going to give you examples of people that got an ice cream sundae and they said, this is great. You know, we have little difficulty rejoicing over the pleasant things in our lives. So I want you to think about the hard part, rejoicing, that internal thing, giving thanks, the external, when you're going through trials. So let's think of these examples. The first one is the lesson of Job. The lesson of Job. We're told this, Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, as we were going through Job, I pointed out that this isn't what a lot of people have jumped to the conclusion that it means, that he says, I'm going through tough times now, but it's just a trial, and when it's all done, I'll be even better. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, if God would just put me on trial, he'd find out I'm already as good as gold. But you know what? It ended up being what we thought at the end, that he was better. He was refined. And that's the message. We see God uses this idea of coming forth as gold, because you don't find, I guess you could find a gold ring in the earth, but somebody lost it, you know. You don't find it naturally forming. You find it all mixed with dirt and rock and stuff, and you have to refine it to make it pure. Zechariah 13:9. God says, I will bring the third part of the people through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. That's not a pleasant thing. You put that gold ore into the pestle, and with your mortar, you break it up. You break it into pieces. And then you're not done. You put it over the fire until it melts. It loses all of its former structure. And You know what rises to the top? The dirty part. And that's what happens during the trial. The things that come up to our voices, to our thinking, it's the dark stuff. You scoop it off and you get rid of it. You recognize it for what it is. He says, I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And that's what we long for. In James 5:11, behold, we count them happy which endure, that keep on keeping on. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen, at the end of the book, the end of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord in it all. That the Lord is very pitiful, full of pity, and of tender mercy. He accomplished his purpose in Job, and then rewarded him. The lesson of Job. Let us also remember the lessons from Christ. We just mentioned those earlier. But Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Charles Spurgeon said on this, the only homage, you know the word, giving of honor, which wickedness can pay to righteousness, is to persecute it. Isn't that wise? He said, what are they going to do? Praise you for righteousness when they're not righteous? No, the only thing they do to recognize your righteousness is to persecute it. Not because of any personal fault, but simply on account of their godly character, the Lord's Daniels are hated. But they are blessed by that which looks like a curse. Under this very grievous trial, good men are to be more than ordinarily happy, for thus they are elevated to the rank of the prophets, take upon whom the storm of falsehood beat with tremendous fury. We know very few people who've been put in jail for their Christian testimony. But we've read about them. The Apostle Paul, Jeremiah the prophet, elevated to the level of the prophets. The lesson from the apostles, Acts 5, 28, 29, 40 to 41, saying, and did not we, the Jewish leaders, straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? What name is that? Jesus Christ. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Oh, really? I thought you were the guy saying his blood be on us and our children. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. In 40 to 41. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. What? Their back is still smarting, perhaps bleeding. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Counted worthy of suffering for the name of Jesus. They got back to the church, told the people about it. God shook the place because of the power of their praise. And then, in the face of that commandment, don't preach in his name, but in the face of the commandment of Jesus that said, go everywhere preaching this name, they went right back out into the temple daily in the homes, teaching and preaching Jesus as the Messiah. The apostles. Let us learn from the examples, the lessons from Paul. In Acts 16, 22 to 26, we have an example of how God worked using praise. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, that without trial, you see, who having received such a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast, bound tight in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas griped, groaned. They prayed and sang praises. They prayed and sang praises unto God. The construction here is that it was not two separate things, but one. In their prayer, they were singing praises. They took a psalm before God. And the prisoners heard them. It was out loud, wasn't it? And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. That twisting and turning popped loose all the stocks and opened up the doors. Praise at such a time, in such a condition, something had to give way. Brought great consequences. They were loosed. The jailer coming in, looking at that darkness and seeing that everything open, he was ready to kill himself. And they said, no, don't do that. We're all here. Why would they do that? They didn't want him to kill himself. They didn't want him to get in trouble. And he got saved. Acts 16, 30 to 32. He got saved and he brought them out and said, sirs, out of the darkness, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Already looking for the evangelism to come. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He invited them into his living chambers. He washed carefully the blood dried on their backs. Gave them something to eat. The lesson of praise. In a very dark, literally very dark place. I want you to listen to the lesson that Paul talks to the Philippians. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You see, let's not forget that we can rejoice in all the things he does, but let us rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe. He says, I keep telling you this because it'd be safer for you. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. This is the word meaning at all times. And again, I say, rejoice. He writes this to the Philippians. It was in Philippi where they were beaten and put in prison. He had given them an example, hadn't he? Dear old Matthew Henry said this, all our joy must terminate in God, and our thoughts of God must be delightful thoughts. And he quotes, delight thyself in the Lord, Psalm 37:4. In the multitude of our thoughts within us, grievous and afflicting thoughts, His comforts delight our soul, Psalm 94:19. And our meditation of him is sweet, Psalm 104:34. Let me close with this, and that is the lesson about poverty. No, I'm not closing, sorry. One more slide. The lesson about poverty. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul testifies to them, for our light affliction, Paul's light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The pain is but for a moment, but what we earn is eternal. It's light affliction here, because that's all they can do to us. But it's an eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 6:10, talking about himself again, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Possessing all things? Yeah, we're sons of God. We inherit from him. Colossians 1:24. It's I, Paul, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Writing to the Hebrews, Hebrews 10:34, for you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods when they took your stuff, knowing in yourselves, or that you have in or for yourselves, that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. He said, well, what do we care if they take our stuff here? We have eternal stuff in heaven. Albert Barnes says on this, the meaning is that they yielded their property not only without resistance, but with joy. They, in common with all the early Christians, counted it a privilege and honor to suffer in the cause of their master. Now, finally, lessons from Peter. Lessons from Peter, two passages. One, 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if, he says, don't suffer because of your wrongdoing. Don't be that type of a person. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you're suffering now, for good things you did, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. How do we get there? We are suffering for good things, and you're happy. John Gill, since suffering on such an account is a gift of God, in other words, that was God's plan, and is a real honor done to a person to be considered righteous. Moreover, such generally enjoy much the presence of God and the comforts of his Spirit. The Spirit of God and glory rests upon them. Hereby the graces of the Spirit of God in them are exercised, tried, proved, and shine out the brighter. The faith and hope of other Christians are strengthened as they see you with such strength. And God is glorified. And besides, the kingdom of heaven, the crown of life, eternal glory, with which their sufferings are not to be compared, are theirs, and which they shall certainly enjoy. Our time is coming. Take refuge in that. 1 Peter 4:12-16, he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Those are pretty large shoes you're stepping in. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. For their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The natural attitude is to look on persecution as strange and abnormal. The supernatural attitude should be, we consider that the normal Christian experience. It's a familiar thing. We ought not to expect better treatment from the world than our Savior received. Jesus said that, didn't he? John 15:20. Remember the word that I, Jesus, said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord, his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. The friends and the enemies divide by your stand with Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all. This is the plural all, indicating every single one. All that will, that desire, or choose to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, some form or another. But your godliness will be reacted to by the unrighteous. If you take an outspoken stand for Christ, you will become the object of a savage attack. Satan will not waste his time on insignificant Christians. He turns his attention on those who are storming the gates of Hades. Let him do his worst. Our Lord wins the war.
That's right.
We have nothing to fear. Worst they can do to us is send us to heaven. That's not so fearful. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we take this week to emphasize thanksgiving, and that thanksgiving is to you, and that thanksgiving is often done in the form of prayer, but also in the form of speaking to others about your goodness. And Father, we look forward to Wednesday night when we'll be doing that with one another. But Father, let us never relegate this to the realm of if something special happens, for you have given us duties, shown us by the exhortations, by the commandments of Scripture, and then illustrated it for us by the examples of Scripture. Help us not to fall short then, Father. Help us to accept the duty and learn in the process the practical outworkings of being those who give thanks to God, even in times of trial. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.